Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. And I tell you, today is the first day we haven't had rain. I mean, it is just drop-dead gorgeous down here at the beach. All through the 4th of July week, all through the 4th of July weekend, it was just rain, and now it's just beautiful. And I thought, man, what a great way. Yesterday, we cut the call short because of the fact I had some work going on here and a van being picked up. But I tell you, today, we are rocking the likability factor, how to boost your L factor and achieve your life's dreams. Now, we're on the four elements of likability, and today you need to get out some pen and paper. We've been doing kind of just a commentary and going through some stuff that Tim had written, but now we're into the nuts and bolts. We're into really part two of his book, really understanding and raising your likability factor. And this is the great part, because when you actually look at this and you focus in on what it takes to build your likability factor, you realize you got to break it apart. You got to dig deep into it. You've got to understand exactly what the likability factor is all about. And there's a variety of elements, but there's four main ones. First one is friendliness. See, if you want to increase your L factor, your likability factor, then right off the bat, you've got to be friendly. Tim writes this: if you're not friendly, then the light remains red and you can't go any further. If you are friendly, the light turns green and you can drive on. And I get to thinking about that because he's a very just down-to-earth writer. He no fanciness. It's just Tim Sanders. And I thought, man, this is great. He says friendliness is the most fundamental element of likability. If you're not friendly, you will not work exponentially harder to be likable. Some folks are able to do this. We all have had at least one friend whom we nonetheless love because they're nuts. Just crazy people. We love them anyway, but we understand them. But most people, their L factor has to be raised by being friendly. The second one is relevant. You have to have relevance in your life. If you're not being relevant to other people, if you don't have relevance in them, guess what? It won't happen. Tim writes this: if you can find a way to be relevant to someone else, you get a green light and can drive on. Otherwise, the light stays red. That smiling, sweet doorman may be the friendliest guy you've ever met, but if your building is across the street from his and you have no contact with him, then you really don't care whether he's friendly or not. See, this is so true. Sadly, this is America. It used to be that you knew all your neighbors. It used to be your kids could run around the neighborhood. If they did something that was naughty, they got a little smack on their butt and sent home. Nowadays, the neighbors don't even know each other. We got back porches, not front porches. Kind of strange when you think about it. The third factor, or element I should say, is empathy. I'm not talking about sympathy. I'm talking about an empathy, a really caring for other people, a real sharing with other people. And then there's the realness. See, if you're not real, how do you expect anybody to like you? So if you built a triangle and you put the four elements together, you would start at the bottom real bold and big at the broadest part of the triangle with friendliness. You'd build up from there to relevance. You'd build up there to empathy, and then you'd have another big realness at the top. The reason you do is because when you're real, when you're deep, and people see that, then you can move on. Let's look at all four elements for a second. I think this is important. Friendliness. Here's what Tim writes. He says, by friendliness, I mean expressing a liking for other people, or communicating welcome, or expressing a genuinely positive feeling. Friendly messages can convey, I enjoy your company, I'm happy to see you, or simply, I'm open to you being here. Now, that's not just an element of the L factor, it's also a human need. We all have a need to be liked, to be cared for by other people. That's just a God-given trait that we all desire. And when you talk to people, you find out when they don't feel like people like them, they become recluses. You know, I've happened to be a supporter of a nonprofit organization that's called To Write Love on Our Arms. And the whole focus of this organization is to help teenagers with drug and alcohol and depression problems, kids that are going around cutting themselves. And I remember the original story, and this is going to be brash and this is going to be harsh, and I'm going to warn you that right now, but this is the exact story of what happened. This nonprofit ministry got started because a bunch of guys and gals were down in South Florida, and they were working with some kids. And they came across this one little girl who had cut with a razor blade in her arm, "I am a fuck up." Now, I know I used an F-bomb there, but I told you it was going to be brash and hard. Think about the internal sadness, the depression this young lady had to write that on her arm with a razor blade, not with a pen. It was carved in her arm. She didn't feel liked. If you want to raise your L factor, then you've got to be a likable person. See, that if you want to be liked, then you have to like other people. You cannot go through life dogging other people and expect to be liked. It will never, ever happen. Tim writes this, "It's human nature to seek friendliness as a prerequisite to liking somebody." Communication expert Bert Decker, who works with thousands of business people, salesmen, an educator, said, "If you want to get your message across, you must reach and connect with the first brain. You must first persuade the listener's first brain that you represent warmth, comfort, and safety. Whenever we communicate our listener's gateway, the first brain is right there on guard, figuratively speaking. Is this a friend or is this a foe?" I got to looking at that, and I got to thinking about it. I thought, man, this is so true. See, when you're unfriendly, when you're not being friendly to other people, how in the world do you expect people to be friendly to you? This is what Tim writes. He says, here's how it works. When a person behaves in an unfriendly manner towards you, your brain sends a signal to your body's command center to react by deploying hormones. As best-selling author Deepak Chopra says, where a thought goes, a chemical follows. Well, there's two chemicals, two in the body. There's DHEA and there's cortisol. Think of DHEA as a feel-good hormone, and cholesterol makes you feel stressed out. Well, when you're around unfriendly people, what happens? You feel stressed out. When friendly people are around you and you're not have a high L factor, guess what? You are causing them stress. We do not want this. See, this is the kicker, folks. You have to work on step one, element number one, friendliness. Today, I want you to do that. Today, I want you to go out and be friendly. Maybe it's to your wife. Maybe it's your husband, your kids. Now, I had my son call me, Dalton. We had met today, had a cup of coffee. He went to work, and I was on my way back here to study for the show, and he calls and says, "Dad, I need a favor." I said, "Sure, what up?" He said, "Can you come back here to Home Depot, pick up my registration and my insurance, and take it over to Felicia, his wife, at the Coast Guard station, and wait for her to get a sticker so that we can get on to the base because our sticker's outdated?" I said, "Absolutely, man, no problem." That's my son, a little act of kindness. I do that to strangers, do it to everybody. That's it. Folks, that's what you got to do. And man, listen, I am not perfect at this. There is days when I don't want to be friendly to anybody, especially the crazy tourists flying up and down 98. But you got to remember, they're just like you. See, when you start looking at other human beings like yourself, sky really is the limit. Number two, relevance. Listen to this. You need to know how important the other person will be in your life. Your mind is making a transition from seeking safety to seeking significance. See, when you're out there, first you're friendly with people, then you have to look at them, and you've got to be relevant. This is why I tell people in network marketing, you don't want to go out and recruit everybody. You want to recruit people that you like, people that you want to have in your life, people that you'd invite over. In where I grew up, you want to actually surround yourself with people that can walk up to your back door, come into your house, get a pot of coffee, or make a pot of coffee, sit down at the kitchen table and say, Bro, how you been doing? They don't come to the front door, act like a stranger. Come to the back door. Listen to what Tim writes in this. This is great. Relevance is the extent to which the other person connects to your life's interest, wants, and needs. The former chief marketing officer of Coca-Cola spent his career thinking about what keeps a person, a brand, or even a company relevant over time. When you're relevant, he maintains that you'll connect to someone's sweet spot, that area of our heart and our minds in which our passions are concentrated, the bullseye in each of us that represents something very significant. Now think about that just for the sweet spot. You're looking for the sweet spot in another person where you can be relevant, where they're going to be relevant to you. See, this is important here, folks. Very, very important. If you're relevant to somebody, the sky's going to be the limit. And the higher level of relevance, the better you are. Tim writes this, a higher level of relevance is established through mutual interest. People become relevant to you when they share a hobby, whether it's appreciation for jazz, backpacking, or poetry, a friend or a relative or political or religious belief. I do a lot of coaching and mentoring and strategic planning for companies and individuals on the internet, showing them how to become an authority on the internet with their marketing, with their brand, with themselves. One of the things that we talk about constantly is to create your authority with something that you know. Well, the way to do that is to build relevance. I do a lot of woodworking. That's my stress reliever. Whether it's making handmade pens and pencils with a lathe, whether it's carving a merry-go-round carousel, or whether it's just building a little treasure box for Jetty. We'll go out there and we'll create this stuff. Guess what we do? We have some blogs. We have websites. We chat with people. We communicate. We become likable. We become relevant. And the next thing you know, people are coming to the site. We did this with our MLM help desk. We're doing it with Aces Radio Live. We do it on blogs. See what I'm saying? See, everything has to do with your L factor. And people don't want to hang out with you if you're not relevant to them. See, listen to this. This is some of the most powerful stuff right here. This is why he's good at what he does. Relevance is strongest when a personal value proposition that you offer connects with the other person's wants and needs. If you possess a skill that will help somebody complete a task, you are relevant to that person. If you appeal to someone's need to laugh, you're relevant in your sense of humor. Your value produces positive attitudes in other people's minds about you and raises your L factor. He goes on and writes this. When you connect with people's wants and needs, your L factor increases. As the Arizona experiment demonstrated, and he went on about a 2001 research, it's as though your personal stock price rose in your soul's marketplace. John Maxwell constantly saying if you have put value in other people's lives and you've got a pocket of change so that when you screw up, you're not out. People will forgive you for that, and that's so true. See, when you've added relevance to people's lives, I'll never forget, Paige and I were friends long before we became lovers. Matter of fact, we started hanging out around 14. We started dating at 16. We stopped dating probably before we were 17 because I wanted her barefoot and pregnant, but we stayed friends. I joined the Marine Corps. And from the time I was 17 till 22 when we got married, every time one of us was going through a situation in our life, whether it was with our parents, former girlfriend, boyfriends, didn't matter. We'd call each other and say, hey, let's just go for a walk. We'd end up at the Plaza, one of the most beautiful landmarks in Kansas City. And we would just stroll up and down the streets talking about our passions and our dreams. I would listen to her and she'd share her stories of becoming a romance writer. We built relevance in each other's lives. We were friends. If you want to build your L factor, you have to do that. Empathy. And this segues right into this. This is perfect here. Once you've decided that the other person is friendly and relevant, you begin to wonder consciously or unconsciously if the person understands you, Can he see things from your point of view? Can she feel what you are feeling? Empathy. This is important, folks. And here's the definition that Tim uses for empathy. It comes out of the American Heritage Dictionary. Empathy represents an identification with an understanding of another's situation, feelings, or motives. To these descriptions, I would add, this is Tim talking, that empathy is the ability to imagine yourself in the place of another and from that vantage point to be able to understand his or her feelings, desires, ideas, actions, whether they're good or bad. Now, this is important, very important. I do with folks. This is just our passion to help other people. I had a situation come up this week where an individual was very stressed out. Obviously, money's tight for all of us. He'd been in the middle of a great project. And he called me up and he said, "Troy, here's some things that I'm looking at. Here's some things that I feel like I need to do. I need to talk to my partners. What do you think?" I said, "Well, I can understand where you're coming from." And I put myself in his shoes. I remembered when I was working on websites and coding and stuff like that, and when I was in the middle of great projects, whether it was a big sales project or launching a company or mergers and acquisitions, I just tried to put myself in his shoes. Together, we talked this thing back and forth. He sent me over something he was sending out to his partners, and I looked at it, and I said, "You know, it comes from the heart, but you left out the emotion. So, you know, you're staying with the facts. You're wanting to call a come to Jesus meeting and get everybody together and really focus in on where you're going. I commend you on this. This is great." The response was not what he anticipated. Guess what? We were back on the phone again. "Troy, I can't believe they saw it this way." I said, "Well, I can't believe they saw it this way either, but in reading their responses, I also see where they're in the middle of their own battles. They're in the middle of their own craziness right now. So we need to think like they would. What are they going through? Why would they anticipate it this way?" See, this is where negotiation comes in. And folks, listen to me. Sometimes you can't, at the end of the day, even with empathy, you're going to come across people and it just isn't going to work. And you've got to move on. But you've got to look at this. Because, see, empathy is different than sympathy. If you're just sympathetic with others, your heart goes out to them. You feel compassion, but those are your feelings, not their feelings. With empathy, you're putting yourself in their shoes. See, sadly, most marriages end up in divorce because somebody feels sorry for somebody else. Somebody sympathizes instead of empathizes. See, when you dig deep, when you go down to the root, you want to hold a relationship together in business or in your personal life, then you need to be empathizing with the other person. I've got Indian blood in me, and an old Indian saying was always, you know, wear your brother's moccasins and go 2 miles in his shoes, not one. See what it is that he sees. Feel what he feels. Understand what he understands. See, that's what we all have to do. See, Tim writes, "If you're empathetic to others, however, you are not merely feeling sorry for them, but you are projecting yourself into their hearts as though you are sensing what it's like to be in their shoes." Listen to this. This is good. "Sympathy is a sweet emotion, but it's not a connecting one." And it's not. I used to sympathize all the time for the criminals that I got out of jail. Sorry you got busted. You know, sucks to be you. Give me $500, we'll get you out. But then I'd run across some young ladies, some boys, that were picked up for prostitution. And then I started feeling what empathy was about as they'd share their stories. Some of them have gotten out of that rut. They got out of being the victim. They got good counseling. They're now business women and businessmen. But they're heartbreaking stories. Now, at the same time when you're building your likability factor, I should stress this. You do not want to abuse it. You do not want to build your likability factor as manipulation. I also knew some professional gigolos, young men that would show up at hotels, very nice hotels in downtown Kansas City. And they knew how to raise their L factor with lonely women. And they would literally empathize, put themselves in the women's shoes. They would make it to where those women actually knew that this person understood what they were going through and how their husband wasn't giving them the time of day that they needed. And these guys would manipulate that for money, not for long-term relationship. See, everything that we talk about on this can be used for evil as well as good. So make sure that you're doing this with the right heart. Don't go out to fool other people. Tim goes on and writes, empathy provides another likability advantage. Many people have difficulty expressing their feelings. If you're one of them, empathy can help others find a voice for your emotions. When somebody not only takes the time to find out how you feel, but also helps you put those feelings into words, you receive a sense of clarity. Your feelings are no longer rambling, but are inaccurate in your head. You now can hear them, think about them, and work with them. Empathy is big. This is one other thing Tim writes, and I found this very, very intriguing and very good. He said, empathy, however, is a powerful addition to your likability arsenal. In fact, other people's ability to read your feelings is a key to their success with you. Ron Levin, former president of the American Psychological Association, conducted a study involving people in 18 different countries to examine the benefits of being able to read feelings. He discovered that people of all ages who can read others' feelings well are not only better adjusted emotionally, more outgoing, and more sensitive, but also more popular. If you want to raise your L factor, you want to be popular, you want to be able to go out there and build a business, have a marriage that lasts 75 years, watch your kids grow up and be great successes, then you got to put all four of these elements together. We covered friendliness, what you have to do there. You know, that is the basic, that is the foundation of where you're going, what you're doing, why you're doing it. You know, when you're friendly, you're there. You've got to be relevant. People have got to connect with you. You've got to have empathy. You've got to put yourself in the other people's shoes. And then you've got to be real, what I call transparent and authentic. Tim writes this, the fact is you can't have a high likability factor, an L factor, unless you possess what he calls realness, what I call transparency, authenticity. There are many definitions for real, but to the context of the interpersonal relationships, I defined it as factual and actual. In human terms, a real person is someone with a genuine, true, and authentic personality. See, this is the key, folks. This is that when people see that you are who you are, that you are not a fake, that you're not there to browbeat them, to beat them up, to harass them, to abuse them, to what I call give them the screw syndrome. Now your L factor goes up. Listen to this. When you give others your trust, you do it not for them but for yourself. You trust people so that you can get on with the details of your life. See, when you don't trust others, it comes through. This is sad. The stuff that we're talking about right now is never taught in network marketing companies. They teach the fundamentals of how to make a sale. They teach the fundamentals of how to memorize a script. They tell you, duplicate my online system, but they do not tell you what it takes to go in and embrace the basic human needs. See, when people don't trust, when you don't trust people, people will not trust you, and you will not make a long-term sale. You will not recruit a strong team. You will recruit like-minded people just like you. You will go out and you may know every slick word, every secret close, every manipulation to the sales process, and as soon as you're out of their way and they realize what they've done, they will cancel it. You have to understand this. This is so important. Trust is about changing your life while changing others. This is big. Tim writes this. In the book, The Fundamentals or the Foundations of Personality, prominent psychologist Abraham Meyerson says, we resent what we call insincerity because we fear being fooled. There is no blow quite so severe as a sudden realization that we have mistaken the opinion of others, that we have been fooled. To be fooled is to be lowered in one's self-esteem, and we like sincerity and hate insincerity largely because our own self-esteem stands on some solid basis in the one case and on none whatsoever in the other. Most of us would rather have people say bad things of us to our face than run the risk of ridicule and the foolish feeling that comes from insincerity. I've got a friend of mine. We're just becoming friends, actually, the last few weeks. And as our relationship has started to grow, we have invested a lot of time getting to know each other outside of the public light. And he said something very important. Actually, I said something to him. I said, you know, my trust was given to you limitedly because of our introduction by a mutual friend. You're gaining my trust now because of who I see that you are. I said, but I can guarantee you, if you violate that trust, that there'll be a ramification for that. And he wrote back to me these words. He said, Troy, you would be proud to serve with me side by side if we were at war, because trust and loyalty are what I live by. Now, he knows how sincere I am when it comes to serving and protecting this country. He knew where to hit my sweet spot. He also knew, based on the words that I wrote, that I do not play, that we have to be sincere. Folks, being authentic, being real, can be very dangerous. But when you're up front with people, when you are authentic with people, when people know where you stand on every issue, then you do not have to worry about anything, nor do they need to worry. They will know exactly where you're coming from. Your L factor will go through the roof. It will go beyond anything you ever dreamed of. If you're struggling with making sales right now, if you're struggling with taking your business to the next level, if your marriage, if your relationship seems stressed, it's your L factor. Take these four principles: friendliness, relevance, empathy, and realness, and put them together. I challenge you to do this. Take to heart what I'm saying. Put my words to the test. See if I'm not telling you the truth. It may take you a while to get it all down, but you're going to get there. I learned this from Tim Sanders' first book, Love is the Killer App, where he shared business after business, where he went in and was just authentic with people. I do the same thing now. I go in and I work. And people say, what do we owe you? And I say, what is it worth to you? Write me a check. See, I believe that other people will always reward you better than you can reward yourself. It's one of the things that just the way we do business. See, you can do this, folks. You can take your business, your life, to the next level if you truly care about people. If you want to raise your likability factor. As Tim says right here, and I think this is so sweet. This says it all. How to boost your L factor and achieve your life's dreams. It's what the book is about. You want to achieve your life's dreams, then truly you need to go out there and raise your likability factor. That's the key. Tomorrow, we're going to still be in this book. I love it. I think it's good for all of us. It's sure helping me. I'm taking notes. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about how to raise your L factor in a big way. We're going to go into a little bit more detail. We're going to cover a lot more of what's here. You're going to be able to see where we're going and what we're doing. And at the end of this chapter, obviously, we'll be ending the book. But I think you're going to find, hey, this is well worth it. I'm going to go buy that book. You know, we're going to take the rest of the week. We're going to enjoy the likability factor. And then we will be into something new next week. Live life like it's an epic adventure. Have a fantastic day. And I'll see you back here tomorrow morning on Radio for Your Mind. Bye.